The test is in four part, part one, part two, part three, and part four. Now look at part one.
Part one.
You will hear a man asking for information about language classes over the phone. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 4. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 4.
Good morning, Globetrotters Language School. How may I help you?
Yes, I was wondering if you could give me some information on language classes.
Certainly. What language are you interested in studying?
Well, that's the thing. I'm interested in learning Japanese, but I'd also like to improve my Chinese. I don't know which to study right now.
Maybe the class schedule will help you decide. Did you want to study in the morning, afternoon, or evening?
I work in the evenings, so mornings or afternoons would be best.
Then that decides it for you. We offer an advanced Chinese class, but it meets on Wednesday and Friday evenings.
I couldn't do that. When do the Japanese classes meet?
We have beginning Japanese on Tuesday and Thursday mornings. No, wait, that's intermediate Japanese. Which level do you want? Advanced?
No, beginning, definitely. I know some Chinese and some French, but I'm a real beginner with Japanese.
Well, then, are you free Monday, Wednesday and Friday mornings? That's when the beginning Japanese classes meet. We also have intermediate French on Friday mornings.
I could do those mornings, but I'd prefer afternoon. Don't you have anything in the afternoon?
We have intermediate Japanese class on Wednesday and Friday afternoons.
I really need a beginner class, so I'll take the morning Japanese class. Could you give me an idea of the cost? What would be the tuition for the Japanese class?
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 5 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 5 to 10.
The beginning level classes meet 3 times a week, so they cost a bit more than the other levels. For a 6-week course, the cost would be $575.
That's a bit steep.
If it's hard for you to pay that much, you could sign up for just 4 weeks of class and pay $410, or you could pay for 1 week at a time at $125 a week.
That comes out to be much more expensive once you add up all the weeks.
That's true. You can save money by registering for 2 levels together. For example, pay for your beginning and intermediate classes now, and you'll get 12 weeks of class for just $1,050.
That's not a bad deal, but I can't come up with that much money at once. I'll just pay for the 6-week course.
Fine. That class begins next week, so you need to register right away.
Can't I register over the phone?
No, I'm sorry. We don't take phone registrations. What you'll need to do is visit the school office today or tomorrow. Bring a check for the tuition and a photo ID.
Is that all?
Yes, we'll give you a registration form to complete, or you can save time by visiting our website and downloading the form there. Complete it and bring it into the office with your check.
Great. I'll stop by this afternoon.
Fine. When you arrive, ask for Mr. Lindsay. He's in charge of student registration.
I'm sorry, Mr. Who?
Mr. Lindsay, spelled L-I-N-D-S-A-Y.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you. We'll look forward to seeing you in class.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear part of an introductory talk to a health club. Listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 15.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to Rose's Health Club, which is part of the nationwide Rose Group of Health and Fitness Centres. Today, I hope to tell you everything about the Glenfield Centre and the facilities it offers. First, have a look at the map of the centre I have put up here. There's a copy of it in your information packs. As you can see, we have a range of facilities. We are here at the meeting point, next to the reception desk. If you get lost, which is unlikely, make your way here. The main feature of the health club is, of course, the swimming pool. This is a 25-metre pool divided into three or four lanes. Access to the pool is normally through the changing rooms, for obvious reasons. To get to these, bear left as you come through reception, and as you follow the corridor, they are the two doors immediately to your right. First the female changing room, then the men's. If you follow the corridor right to the back of the building, you'll find one of our most popular features, three state-of-the-art squash courts. We keep them in very good condition, so if you're keen on that sport, I'm sure you'll appreciate the quality. Right then, I'm sure what many of you are thinking of joining for is access to the gym facilities and activities like yoga. We've got lots of space for this, and these are all situated on the left-hand side of the main corridor, opposite the changing rooms and squash courts. At the far end, you'll find the fixed and free weights room. There are lots of fixed weights machines, and you'll also find exercise bikes and rowing machines. Next to that, directly opposite the changing rooms, there's access to our sports hall. This is where yoga classes, martial arts, circuit training, and other classes take place. We even have badminton and table tennis sometimes. Okay, moving on from the sports, there are two other things to point out. One is a small door next to reception to the left as you come in. This takes you into the staff training room. This is important because you'll know where to find us in an emergency, and it doubles as a first aid room in those circumstances. Finally, last but not least, there is another corridor to the right as you come in, and that leads you to the cafe lounge on one side and the viewing area for the swimming pool on the other.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 16 to 20.
Now answer questions 16 to 20.
Now, we will go for a little tour in a moment, but first I'd like to tell you a little about the different kinds of club membership we have, so that you can be thinking about what you want as we go round. We first of all have the Anytime membership. Anytime is the complete go-as-you-please membership. This entitles you to full use of all the facilities during all opening hours. And we're open every day from 5 a.m. till midnight. This costs £850 per year, though there are some discounts which I will tell you about in a moment. Don't forget that the Rose Group is a nationwide group, and this membership also entitles you to the full use of the group's other 250 clubs around the country. The Free Time membership is an off-peak membership. This entitles you to use of the facilities between 10 a.m. in the morning and 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Also, you can use the facilities at any time at weekends. This costs £500. Note that you will still have access to a personal trainer under this membership scheme. Finally, a standard membership costs £400 and is a weekday membership, really, especially suitable for retired people who can come during the week. There is also a children's membership scheme. Children can join this scheme if they are between 15 and 18 years old. Please note that children of less than 15 can't come to the club without an adult, and they can't take sessions on the sunbed. Not that young people usually want to use a sunbed anyway. The children's schemes are all half price, that is 50% for each child or young person in the scheme. People who live outside the area can have a discount of up to 50%, but this has to be arranged specially with the general manager. If that is of interest to any of you, let me know and I will fix up an appointment for you. Now, let's go on our tour.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part three.
Part three.
First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 24. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 24.
Hi there, Sangmin. What have you been up to?
I've just been to a tutorial. Weren't you two supposed to attend?
Yes, we were. But I had an essay to finish and Julianne offered to help.
Did we miss much?
Well, I thought it was quite interesting. It was all about spending habits among undergraduates. It was based on recent research done by a PhD student studying behavioral psychology.
Oh, yes. I remember being interviewed by him about what I usually spend my money on.
And what did you say?
Well, most of my money, probably around 75%, goes on basic living. Paying rent, food costs, and of course, university fees.
I'm the same, except my food bill is higher.
We are all in the same boat here. Virtually all my money goes on that too, but I also spend a lot of money on textbooks, between 100 and 120 pounds a month, usually more. Realistically, it's closer to 150 pounds.
That explains why you get such good marks.
Another aspect of the interview was students' use of credit cards, with a particular focus on how students manage these.
In my case, not very well. I always end up spending more than I plan to. It's too easy to use. Mm.
Surely that must be the point, that students are given credit cards too easily before they've learned how to use them. And the number of credit cards some students get, it's frightening. The average is about 3 cards?
Not only cards. Students need to learn how to manage money, too. And this is what the interview's meant to find out. By comparing and contrasting all the data, the root causes of student spending could be highlighted.
And the effects this has on students, I'd imagine, would be more negative than positive.
Perhaps, but this was the other part of what the student was trying to achieve. You also need to study the effects to find answers.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 25 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 25 to 30.
But I think it all goes back to how we were taught to manage money when we were children.
That's true. Our behavior now is closely related to the childhood environment and what we learned from that.
But how far back should we go? When do children really begin forming an understanding of what money means?
I've read that children between 3 and 5 can understand what's right and wrong. That's when they can learn concepts like sharing. At the age of 6, most children can understand the value of money.
This suggests that if parents offered practical advice to their children at an early age, it could have a very positive impact on their spending habits in later life.
Mm. It basically comes down to 3 areas. The first one is allowance. Parents should not try to focus on how much money they give their children, but rather on what they need.
Needs are difficult to define, so parents need to resist the urge to give in when their children say, "I want." Mm.
For me, the only way to teach children the difference between needs and wants is to give them a practical allowance. If my parents had not done that for me when I was younger, I don't think I would be able to handle the money they give me now.
Mm, true. The second thing I think is important is saving.
Can you explain a bit more?
Well, basically, parents need to introduce their children to personal finance. If we are expected to deal with money now, then we have to learn when we're younger.
I see what you mean. And it could be in quite simple ways, like by helping them to open their own savings account.
Hmm.
There's one more area I think is vital.
What's that?
It's buying. We spend excessively on credit cards because we don't know how to control money. We almost need to learn how and what to buy, which is why parents should allow their children to participate in this. If they want something expensive, like a new pair of trainers, then they could be encouraged to save a bit of their allowance.
And parents could also promise to help by saying that they will pay the rest if the child, at the end of their period of saving, still does not have enough.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Part 4.
You are going to hear a talk on Anne Bonny, a female pirate. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 35. Now listen to the tape and answer the questions.
Anne Bonny was one of the two most famous female pirates. She sailed on the crew of Calico Jack Rackham. Anne was romantically involved with Calico Jack, but she could be counted as nonetheless as fearless as any other pirate. She was born in County Cork, daughter of an attorney and his maid. The lawyer left Ireland in disgrace, but found fortune in the Carolinas. There, he amassed a fortune and bought a large plantation. A ne'er-do-well pirate sailor named James Bonny married Anne in an attempt to steal the plantation, but Anne's father instead disowned her. Bonny then took Anne to the Bahamas, where he turned informer to Governor Woods Rogers, turning in any sailor he didn't like as a pirate for a handsome reward. Anne quickly grew to dislike her spineless husband and quickly caught the eye of one Calico Jack Rackham, a pirate of some renown. Governor Rogers had recently passed an amnesty for pirates, which left Bonny out of work. The admiration between Anne and Calico was mutual. Calico Jack was a handsome man who knew how to spend money as well as steal it. Anne was a well-endowed lass with a fiery spirit and a temper that matched that of any man. In any event, Calico offered to buy Anne from Bonny, but Bonny instead took the matter up with Governor Rogers, who said that Anne was to be flogged and returned to her true husband. That night, Calico and Anne slipped out in the harbour, stole a sloop, and began a life of piracy together.
Now look at questions 36 to 40.
Anne fought in men's clothing, was an expert with pistol and cutlass, and considered as dangerous as any male pirate. She was fearless in battle, and often was a member of any boarding party. In October of 1720, retribution was close at hand. The governor of Jamaica, hearing of Calico's presence, sent an armed sloop to intervene and capture the captain and crew. Calico's ship, Revenge, was caught by surprise, and much to Anne's dismay, the pirates fought like cowards and were taken far too easily. Anne and Mary Read were also captured, but, upon capture, confessed their sex and pleaded to be tried separately after they gave birth. Both women were pregnant at the time. Both received separate trials from the men, but were still sentenced to hang. Mary Read escaped the hangman by dying from fever while in jail. Anne, however, received several stays of execution before mysteriously vanishing from official records. It is believed that her father, who had contacts in the island, forgave his daughter for her acts and ransomed her back to the Carolinas, where she assumed a new name and a new life.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.